Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. For the last 10 minutes of this Friday afternoon's program, we're going to be talking about pastors and their congregations, congregations and their pastors. Pastor Matt Harrison joins us. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of an article in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Pastor and Congregation 101. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing pretty well. Before we get to the subject at hand, perhaps some words of wisdom, encouragement for our listeners who are discouraged after the elections early this week, especially what they perceive to be losses on the issues of life and natural marriage and religious liberty.
Yes. Well, I think we are slipping as a nation into paganism, and we should expect that this erosion will continue apace. It would have continued apace, although you may have had, with a Republican victory, you had had a slowing of that pace on the national agendas sort of happening. However, it would continue apace locally. It's just the time in which we live, and we're called to live, and it means we bear witness, confess with charity, but also we're going to be called ever more forthrightly and more often to stand up. And we're at the point now where I think, we see the fortunes of Christianity receding from this country, we're at the point where really a lot of our effort is going to have to be put at making sure we don't have our rights trampled on as Christians, and that's going to mean court battles as we see things unfolding. It's where we're given to be. The early church was in a terribly, much more difficult situation. We're going to be in an increasingly difficult situation. The gospel flourishes. The Lord is in his heavens. And the purification will make his church all the better for it. So bring it on.
How do you respond very briefly, Matt, to those who say, and I'm not talking here so much about the political realm, but about in the realm of the church's task in the world, that, you know, these issues, abortion, marriage, religious liberty, they're not only, losers on the political front, they turn people off. The church is going to alienate people from the gospel message by speaking in the public square on these things. What's your brief response?
Well, I think we have to speak wisely, and there may be times or there may be ways in which we would speak which will be altered due to how best we wish to be heard. That means that there are going to be differences among within the Christian community on what and how often to speak, and that's just the nature of the end times. It's the frayed nature of the end times. So I think it behooves us to be charitable with one another. But nevertheless, we'll bear witness, and we'll bear witness to a smile, with a smile, and we'll continue to be houses and places of refuge for sinners, people who get chewed up by this culture and need a place for forgiveness, and they need unconditional love. And that's what we'll be, by God's grace.
You have recently written about a very basic thing for the life of the church, and that's the relationship between a pastor and a congregation and its pastor. And you say in the middle of that article, Matt, that, the devil has really got his sights set on that relationship. Talk about that.
He sure does. You know, the devil himself tried to strike and thought he had struck the chief shepherd, Jesus, and that he would be the final victor, and the resurrection, of course, meant the tables were turned completely according to the Lord's foreknowledge, divine purpose, and action. And the devil now knows that in order to attack the church, the best place to attack, the most effective for the time and effort, the most effective is pastors. If you can strike a pastor, if you can get a congregation gossiping about their pastor, if you can bring down a pastor through moral difficulty or ethical problems, or if you can just use the pastor's maybe quirky personality or who knows what, if you can bring him down, you can set a congregation aflame, you can scatter the sheep, you can cause it to dwindle and kill it, and reduce its witness in the community to nothing.
You say it's not complicated, though. I mean, that's the gist of your title, 101. There's no rocket science about how the relationship ought to go, and it's a two-way street. Start with what the pastor's called to do.
The place to start in evaluating your pastor, or for pastors to be reminded of their tasks, is the agenda from the ordination rite. In the Lutheran Service Book agenda, you'll find that ordination rite on pages 160 to 181, and it starts right with Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore into all nations," etc. And there is the pastor's mandate. That's an institution passage as far as Dr. Walther's concerned and the Lutheran Confessions. And then read those passages there about preaching, about visiting, about serving your community. Those passages are very insightful and very instructive. And indeed, it is a simple task. If a pastor can preach a decent sermon, if he loves and visits his people and prays for them, and if he's seen in his community in a positive way, that's nine-tenths of the game. When things aren't going well, as I say in the article, what happens is there's a temptation to preach sermons that are subtle or maybe deliver some kind of veiled message to antagonists. Visitation slows and the shut-ins don't get called and there's not much visitation going on with people in the community. And then also the pastor, particularly if he's an introvert, will just absent himself altogether from any community involvement because he knows all the people in the community are hearing his parishioners gossip about what a lousy pastor he is, and it just becomes unbearable.
Could you speak briefly about one of the places that both pastors and people are encouraged nowadays and sometimes unwisely do vent about one another? Social media. What are your thoughts there? We see it. We see fellow pastors, even parishioners, griping about one another.
It's interesting. I think pastors should read Bonhoeffer, Life Together, and there he says a pastor should never, never complain, certainly not publicly, but even to God about his parish or parishioners. That's an interesting thought. But I have a rule on social media, all positive, all the time. And so I never use it as a place to vent. I never use it as a place to talk about others. I never, and any time where any of that has happened in my entire life, it's something that's turned out quite negative. I never send emails that say negative things about people. It's just not the way I choose to operate. Under God's grace, and that's exactly what a pastor and parishioners need to do. I had some great advice early on in the ministry, and that was, if you have a problem with somebody, or you have a sense that there's something which is not right, and you have a nagging kind of desire to talk to somebody, don't wait, just go, and go now, and talk. Some of the best advice I ever got.
And then from the side of the parishioners, what does God's word call them to do with respect to their pastor?
Yeah, you are to share all good things with the one who catechizes you. That's what it says in Galatians. You're to love and care for your pastor. You're to pray for him and just know that he, according to the book of Hebrews, has a greater responsibility as a preacher and teacher, and he's responsible for your soul. And so he bears a burden with respect to you. I think we are so arrogant today to think our whole life is in our own hands and that anybody should have any kind of authority with respect to us, and God is just something unbearable. But the scriptures say that the pastor will give account for the way he's taught and cared for you, and he deserves, the office itself deserves the prayers. I think you should openly address your concerns with your pastor, according to Matthew 18. As a pastor, I tell you, and still today, I so appreciate those people who just have the fortitude to come directly to me and say, you know, Pastor, something's bothering me. You did this or said this. And 99 times out of 100, it was a situation where I could say, oh my, I did not realize that I offended you there, and I'm sorry for that. Or this is, I'm sorry, I did not speak it well. I really expressed myself poorly. What I really meant was this. And those chances, those give opportunities for the relationship to be all the better. And I think, finally, there are certain individuals, because of their backgrounds, because of their certain challenges they face in life, etc., end up being alligators in congregations. That is, we have congregations that have driven out pastor after pastor. Just after a few years, you drive out another pastor, and it tends to be the same small group of people or individuals that don't know how to get along in a life together. When other people in the congregation see this happening, and the pastor is being ground up and spit upon and treated poorly and gossiped about, those individuals who are perpetrating those activities need to be called to account, confronted personally, and told to repent and stop.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Pastor and Congregation 101. Matt, I know that work weighs heavily upon you, especially going into this next year. You are in our prayers, and thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Likewise, keep smiling. As somebody said about Luther's sense of humor, the ultimate is sure, so the penultimate is no longer so deadly serious. Keep smiling. The Lord be with you.
And with you as well.
All right.
It's a gift that we have, isn't it? It's a gift from God that he would give to his people, to his flock, faithful pastors. And, well, that means the sheep ought to daily give thanks when they have a faithful pastor who preaches and visits and loves and cares for them in this community. And likewise, the pastor, realizing that all of us, pastors and people, are sinners together, give thanks for the gift of his flock. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.